This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Mike Dubusky. Five soldiers in Georgia are currently being treated at hospitals near Savannah after a gunman opened fire at the largest army post east of the Mississippi, Fort Stewart.
Around 10:56 is when local law enforcement was alerted that there was an incident on the base, an active shooter situation, and the base was locked down about 8 minutes later at 11:04. Around 11:35 is when the base tells us that the shooter was apprehended, and then about 12:04 was when the lockdown was lifted.
ABC's Louis Martinez at the Pentagon. At least two of the victims are currently being treated at Memorial Health University Medical Center, a level one trauma center about an hour's drive from the base. That shooter, a military official tells ABC News, was a male soldier. President Trump and members of his cabinet have been briefed, and the FBI is offering assistance. Fort Stewart has scheduled a press conference about the shooting, set to happen about an hour from now. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Gas prices are ticking up in the Midwest, but they could be coming down again soon. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices are up 4.8 cents compared to last week, landing at an average of $2.92. This is 0.7 cents lower than a month ago and over 56 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. The national average has increased during the past 2 weeks and is up 1.3 cents from last month, standing at $3.11 per gallon. Officials at Gas Buddy say OPEC Plus has fully restored production to 2023 levels. The weak jobs report and renewed tariff threats bring fresh economic concerns, causing oil prices to potentially face headwinds. This could pave the way for a decline in gas prices in the weeks ahead.
After holding steady at about $2.92 per gallon for several weeks, La Crosse gas prices briefly jumped above $3 per gallon and are now around $2.96, just above the statewide average. The city's Judiciary and Administration Committee met Tuesday night and voted to approve recommending new drinking fountains around La Crosse, but did not forward a motion to preserve the existing green bubblers, which have been turned off since the start of the year due to a lack of accessibility. The committee also recommended an ordinance to restrict the sale of hemp-derived cannabinoids to people ages 21 and over. On Thursday, the Finance and Personnel Committee meets to go over several airport-related items and the city's collective bargaining agreements. Hot and humid conditions begin to return today. Highs will top out in the mid-80s in western Wisconsin, with dew points climbing into the mid to upper 60s by midnight. Tomorrow, in addition to temps back in the mid-80s, it'll be more humid too, with dew points north of 70 degrees. The spike in air moisture also brings with it a chance of scattered showers. Friday will be hot and sticky, with highs in the 90s and heat index values approaching triple digits. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Quay Walker is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Green Bay, where the Packers finally have their middle linebacker, Quay Walker, back in action. The former first-round pick suffered an ankle injury last December against the Seahawks, but didn't have surgery until May.
I thought it was just a high ankle, so I thought it was just something that just was lingering on at the moment. And then I came back for OTAs and tried to do something. I just knew something wasn't feeling right. I didn't want it to, like, just to linger on throughout the season. So I was like, I think the smart idea, probably going to have surgery during OTAs and get it out of the way.
Baseball. The Brewers beat the Braves again, this time 7-2. Nothing special, just walks, stealing bases, RBIs.
We pecked away and got it done, but they left a lot of guys on base. It's kind of a little bit nerve-wracking. Freddie made some big pitches at some big times. You know, he really did. Credit to him.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The series wrapping up today in Atlanta with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
More clouds than sunshine today, and chances for scattered drizzle. As a warm front pushes through the state, we become warm and muggy. Highs today reaching the mid-80s, and by tomorrow, the upper 80s. More showers and thunderstorms are expected overnight, with waves of them tomorrow, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Rouleau. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah. It's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome into the studio Northeast Wisconsin filmmaker Craig Kinnett and Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter Deandra Marie performs live. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
On location, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. We are on location here, Todd Alba with you from Black River Beach Neighborhood Community Center in La Crosse, Wisconsin, on the banks of the Black River, one of the backwaters to the Mississippi River, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer, the old world headquarters of Civic Media, back in Madison on State Street. Welcome in, everybody. It is Wednesday, the 6th of August, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Hump Day!
Look at that. The camel has made it all the way here to La Crosse on the banks of the Black River. Zommers, the wind was very calm as we set up. And about 10 minutes before we came on the air, it's picked up a little bit. How are conditions down in Madison?
Not too bad. It's still hazy, or smoky, as expected. But hopefully that clears out in the coming days.
Well, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is saying that hopefully these winds start to clear out some of this smoke for the wildfires out west, and conditions will continue to improve. But weather is absolutely fantastic. In fact, one of our guests, Dale Schultz, commented it's beach weather, but not many people go to the beach anymore. He is a former lifeguard, a little hitherto unknown fact on the beaches of Madison. We'll ask our ongoing friend and contributor here, also the host of Mornings of Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 9. Patrick, I know you're a captain of a pontoon boat on Lake Wissota. Were you ever a lifeguard?
No. Both my daughters were. They
really?
At the YMCA pool here in Chippewa Falls. I'm very proud of that. But no, I've got them to rely on in case anything goes awry with the pontoon. And by the way, nothing ever goes awry on the pontoon on Lake Wissota.
No. What do they say? The two best days of a boat owner are when you buy it, when you sell it.
Yeah. Yes. But you know what? The ones in between ain't so bad either.
Right. No, I've seen it. It's a beautiful setup, Pat Scott. Busy show. Glad everybody is here today at hour number two. Brian Van Hooker of Cracked.com going to bring us some lighter side. The old series, the animated series, King of the Hill, going to be going back and doing a little reminiscing on that. Also, a goofy what's first for you in hour two, some state news as well. But want to begin today, the reason that we're here, and by the way, our friend Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. I talked to him this morning. He's at a beach in Lithuania, so supposedly he's joining us. He may pop in at the bottom of the hour as well. But want to get to why we are here today. Really, really important seminar just wrapping up here on the inside of this beautiful community center in La Crosse, having to do with fusion voting. It was sponsored by Leader Ethics. And here joining me at the table on the banks of the Black River in La Crosse is from the Leader Ethics, Mr. Lee Rosh, who is a former president of Western Technical College and a former Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz, who is the co-chair of United Wisconsin. Lee, Dale, how the heck are you? We're great. Thank you. Thank you. It's great having you both here. Of course, Dale's been on the show several times. Lee, you were on the program last summer when we were down in Viroqua at Wonder State Coffee. So great to have you back on. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm delighted to have this chance.
It's our pleasure. Lee, let's start with you. Tell folks a little bit about Leader Ethics, what it is and what your mission is.
Leader Ethics is a nonpartisan nonprofit organization that is committed to promoting ethical leadership among elected officials. And the four cornerstones that we promote actively are: we expect ethical leaders to be truthful, to be transparent with public information, to be a unifier rather than a divider, and to work to the best of their ability to represent their entire constituency. And, you know, those are things in business, education, healthcare, those are almost normal expectations. And our question is, why not among political leaders as well?
Yeah, really appreciate that. Dale, again, you've been on the show several times. Of course, your co-chair at United Wisconsin is former Democratic sheriff for Dayton County, Dave Mahoney. He had to get on the road, another engagement, as they say. But tell folks briefly the mission of United Wisconsin, Dale.
Well, United Wisconsin is a group of people who believe that we ought to be able to, as citizens, freely associate with whoever we want during elections, and that we believe that the major political parties have failed in their mission to provide a mechanism so that people can have a voice through them about the issues that are important to them, and that we need to have real solutions advanced on behalf of all of us. So, as a result of our feelings, we have decided that fusion voting, which allows... Well, first of all, I should mention that fusion was a part of this country for decades, and it led to the birth of the Republican Party, in fact, many, many years ago in Ripon, Wisconsin. But it's a way of giving people who are left out of the political process agency within that process to be heard, to influence what goes on. And the way we do that is by saying that when you vote, you are basically have the right to vote for a candidate. You don't have to be constrained by a political party. And what fusion allows is for the same person to be a candidate for multiple political parties. And then when the election is over, those votes are tallied jointly to determine the winner. Now, why this works is because in Wisconsin, for example, we have elections decided by, you know, just a couple of points, election after election. If a group of passionate people were to form a party and want to have influence, all they have to do is turn out 5-6%, and they might be in a position to determine who the winner is going to be. And that candidate would be a fool not to listen to them after an election, unless, of course, they only wanted to be there one term. Mm-hmm. And the more people that do this, the more likely the political parties would have reason to be dependent on extreme voices in their ranks, both political parties. Mm-hmm. So those people who are worried about not voting because it doesn't make a difference, throwing away their vote on the third party that they know will never have a chance, or voting for the lesser of two evils, suddenly now have a person they can believe in who can be an agent to help change the other partnership that they have to work on issues they care about.
Pat Kreitlow.
One of the things I like about this is that, you know, a minor party at least finds a way to get a toehold in here. So at first, maybe the ALBA party, of which I'm a proud member, would simply endorse, you know, a major party candidate. But as more people see the ALBA party is, you know, more in keeping with their line of things, maybe someday when there's a candidate from that party conveniently named Todd ALBA, they might be inclined to now support that minor party. Though my question to the guests, I just simply want to repeat what has been noted in the Associated Press and the Wisconsin Public Radio article, where a Republican Party of Wisconsin spokesperson said fusion voting could result in voters being, quote, manipulated into voting for a major party candidate masquerading as an independent. And I want to give your guests a chance to respond to that.
Lee?
Well, any system can be, they can work to, the parties probably will work to try to distort its impact. But the thing that we have to look at, though, is that we're talking about appealing to voters, and the voters are the power behind it. Now, this wasn't involving fusion voting, but it's a good example of how powerful third parties can be. If you remember in the 1990s, at the time George H. Bush was running against President Clinton, mm-hmm. that essentially the third party candidate, Ross Perot, was the individual who was pounding away on the message of removing the deficit and reducing the debt. And he showed graphs on the screen, and he really, really hounded with that. But the thing is, it got 20% of the voters in the presidential election to listen to it. And both of the presidential candidates from the two parties were forced to recognize that it was a legitimate issue that people were concerned about. Well, guess what? Those are 4 years that we had our federal budget was balanced. Mm-hmm. Now, in the recent budget dialogue and activities going on in Congress, that was not on the radar at all. There's no one pushing for anything other than what the two parties are bringing forward. And that's why I think fusion voting does give that voice that's not being heard today a chance to be heard.
We're talking with Lee Rosch, a former president of Western Technical College, and now with Leader Ethics here in Wisconsin, leaderethics.us. You can find the seminar today at their website. It was streamed, but have that there. We'll put the link in our website as well. And also a former Senate Majority Leader in Wisconsin, Republican Dale Schultz, also the co-chair of United Wisconsin with former Democratic Dayton County Sheriff Dave Mahoney. Dale, what to Pat's question there, the current iteration of the MAGA Republican Party, which you were not a part of that, but of your party now, you're saying that basically trying to poo-poo fusion voting. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think that when I was involved in trying to change the whole notion of gerrymandering and bring some sense to that process, which occurs every 10 years, the political parties had both participated. They liked having that power. They didn't mind playing the lottery until they lost. We know that engaging people is the best way to move forward. Think about this, and it's a point that occurs to me because we started this program talking about this beautiful setting that we're in and it being a beach day.
On the banks of the Black River here. Yeah.
In the last election, who was the spokesperson for the environment? There wasn't one.
Not strong. I mean, you make the argument that former Vice President Kamala Harris certainly talked more about it than Donald Trump, but in the state of Wisconsin, I'm not sure who.
Yeah, I don't know that I have the same feeling you have that Kamala Harris was the best spokesperson or an adequate spokesperson. But imagine the people who care about the environment, and they're everywhere. Mm. If they had a chance to be engaged in an effort to have a environmentally based party, they could make the difference in the election by having their votes fused with another party or multiple parties, and they would have agency at the table to drive change. And that's what this is all about.
Pat Kreitlow, as a former Democratic state senator, what Dale's saying there, I mean, you've been in the building more recently, well, as recently basically as Dale and I. Do you think that's possible, what Dale just said, in the current political environment?
In the current political environment, it's a heavy lift. But again, when you see so much dissatisfaction, part of the reason people voted for Trump, not that they loved anything about Trump, but they just said, we're so desperate to fix this system. I hate to put something in place out of desperation, but if it fixes an unworkable system, which other people have broken, well, then I think we might be more inclined to get to that point. Maybe not this year, but soon.
We're coming up about a minute here, Dale. I want to get your thoughts quickly on this, and Lee, when we come back from you. What's happening, right? You brought up redistricting. You were very involved in this with former Senate Majority Leader Tim Cullen and Bob Jouk on the Democratic side. Bob Jouk was on this program a couple of days ago, and he said, regrettably, that he would say that Democrats have to fight fire with fire, and that places like California and Illinois should look at least consider partisan gerrymandering to counter what may happen in Texas. Your thoughts in 1 minute.
Well, I think the fact that we're having this discussion is very disheartening because I think there are a lot of us who believe there is a better way. On the other hand, it's pretty hard to argue with people who point out that if you don't fight fire with fire, you look like a chump, you alienate your voters, and we go backwards. I hope that this discussion about what is a political nuking of the process drives people back to their senses. That's what I can hope for, and that's how I feel about it.
Back from Black River Beach Park here in La Crosse, Wisconsin, we are on location for the Town Hall Ball Show. Lee Rosh, Dale Schultz, Pat Kreitlow, and will Trigvi Olsen beam in from afar? Don't miss it. Come on back after this.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor Neil McDonough. If you saw his face or if you Google him right now, you'll recognize him. He refuses to kiss another woman on camera. On the one hand, I applaud him for not kissing anyone other than his wife, but she says I don't have a problem with him if he wanted to kiss another woman. As someone who's done it, it doesn't really feel like cheating because there's people in the room. It's very mechanical.
You did write it yourself.
I did write it myself.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Each day you've got to stand for something.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show. We are live on location just outside of downtown La Crosse, Wisconsin. Not quite on the banks of the old Mississippi River, on the backwaters, which is the Black River. Equally as beautiful here. We are at the Black River Beach Neighborhood Center. You can see the beautiful location here if you're watching us on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. And of course, we welcome all of our listeners across the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. Joining me this hour, Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio every morning. From 6 until 9 across the network. And joining us from, we'll say, a secure, undisclosed location, Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, has beamed in. Trigvi, we'll get to you in just a bit here, but you look very comfy today.
I'm very comfy.
Good. There's a lag apparently across the ocean there.
Well, it's a long ways across the Atlantic.
Yes, it is. More importantly, our guests here at the table at the Black River Beach Neighborhood Center talking about fusion voting. Here we have Lee Rosh, who is the former president of Western Technical College and these days with Leader Ethics, a great group here, which was the main sponsor of today's fusion voting conference or seminar. Just got over. You can watch the seminar if you missed it at leaderethics.us. Leaderethics.us. And a big shout out to Penny, who is a viewer, a listener of our show. She heard us plug this a couple days ago, and she said that's how she found out about it. So that was very nice. And we also have former Republican State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz of Richland Center, who is the co-chair of United Wisconsin, who is the co-sponsor of today's events. And he is the co-chair with former Democratic Sheriff of Dane County, Dave Mahoney. Lee, I want to go back to you here at the top of this segment. I posed the question to you or to Dale. I want you had to have a kick at it as well. I know you're someone who also believed in, you know, maybe believes in fair maps in Wisconsin. But what do you make of what's happening in Texas? Donald Trump calling on Governor Abbott to intentionally gerrymander the maps to a five-seat pickup for Republicans. Now Gavin Newsom saying that he may do the same thing in California, but for the Democrats. Now former moderate Republican Arnold Schwarzenegger, who set the example when Dale was still in the state senate in Wisconsin for having a nonpartisan commission in California, saying, I'll be back. He's coming back to fight what Newsom is doing. What are your thoughts on all this?
It's saddening, I got to be honest, because really what's happening is this is a significant step further in the wrong direction, and it makes it harder to try to turn things around down the road. So there's no getting around from that. I think we need to talk about it as a concern. We need to take action to raise those questions among Democrats and Republicans. But, you know, you can't be surprised if they do this, but I got to tell you, it's not a good sign, and we can't be silent as citizens. We've got to speak out against it. We just have to.
Yeah. Pat Kreitlow?
Just one more question on the news coverage of this. Lee, it notes that your group, United Wisconsin, is suing the Wisconsin Elections Commission to reinstate the practice. I was not aware that it once was the in practice here in Wisconsin. Can you share a little bit about the history of fusion voting here?
Well, I can. Dale mentioned earlier, fusion voting started with our foundation of our nation, and it was used all through the years up to the turn of the 20th century. It was the process that was used in Ripon, Wisconsin, to form the Republican Party. It brought together the Whigs, the Free Soilers, anti-slavery individuals, and they all came together, and that was the foundation of the Republican Party. But it worked on the other side of the aisle as well, because following the Civil War in North Carolina, an African-American slave ran for Congress in 1865, and he won. Wow. And he won because he had not only former slaves and other African-Americans and Republicans who were supporting that, but also poor white farmers who felt neglected by the whole process. And so in both cases, there was really good success using fusion voting. However, both parties were concerned about the threat that it brought to their party strength. And state by state, they eliminated it with the exception of New York and Connecticut.
Dale, just a couple of minutes left here. Let's pick up what Lee just said. I mean, it worked for you. I know that you've said several times your former Senate district in Southwest Wisconsin was a purple swing district, and you often said, like, if I was to be strictly partisan, I couldn't keep getting reelected. Let's pick up what Lee just said. We've seen this in Wisconsin individually, but fusion voting kind of puts it out there and available for everyone.
Well, it does, and you know, it's about, again, giving people hope by giving them agency. And how I conducted myself, I believe, gave people hope. They knew that if they came and they talked to me, I would, in fact, listen. And they saw examples of where, in fact, at times I would admit I was wrong and change my mind, or I was influenced by some priority they had or something they had to say. I think that's what we expect from the political process. And what fusion voting will do is enhance that by giving people an agency that they haven't had since fusion voting disappeared.
Trigvi Olsen, I know, is involved with United Wisconsin as well. We could pick up after the bottom of the hour with him. But to Pat's point, there is a lawsuit going on right now on this, correct?
Yes, there is.
Do we know the status of it? Is it before an appeals court or Supreme Court? Where are we at?
Well, I'm not an attorney, so I'm not going to opine. I'm smart enough to know that. But, you know, it has been filed, and we'll wait for the courts to tell us.
All right, very quickly, Tommy Thompson, the state fair on TMJ this week, was asked if he's running for governor. He said he hasn't decided yet. One of our viewers yesterday said they thought Dale Schultz would make a great governor. Dale Walter Schultz, are you running for Wisconsin governor in 2026?
Let me just say I heartily agree with your listener. But I am not a candidate and don't plan to be a candidate. I think it's
don't
time
plan
for
to be is different than a no.
Well, you know, you got me there, Todd. I just have to be candid and upfront about it.
All right, we'll leave it there.
Time for a new generation.
All right, Pat Kreitler. Mornings with Pat Kreitler every morning from 6 until 9. Lee Rush from Leader Ethics and Dale Schultz from United Wisconsin. Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate it. Come on back from Lacrosse Live with Trigvi after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stephanie Hoff along with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Today we're digging into a story that might hit close to home, or at least the kitchen table. Ground beef prices are on the rise. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing walks us through what's causing the price hike.
Well, we just saw some stats over the night that U.S. ground beef to the retail consumer is actually hitting its historic highs this last week. Some of that might be tied to a little bit of tariff play. We did put a 50% tariff on Brazilian imports, and we import a lot of beef from Brazil. That usually goes into trim, so that may be one of the reasons why the hamburger price is going higher. Trim obviously is the ground beef that we see that hits stores and restaurants. So we'll have to really watch that going forward in terms of that cattle market. Just the supplies of cattle are not out there, and that's going to be something that keeps prices elevated.
Historic highs on ground beef, something you may be noticing this summer as you prep burgers for the grill. Market advisor John Heinberg joining us from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. I've got more farm news on the way.
Join our friends from Wisconsin Farmers Union in Booth 607 and Midwest Farm Report at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days on Wednesday, August 6th at 2 p.m. Wisconsin Farmers Union is united to grow family agriculture. Visit wisconsinfarmersunion.com to learn more.
This year's Farm Technology Days is celebrating generations of progress August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, Wisconsin. This year's show takes a glimpse into the future of agriculture with technology and technique. Visit wifarmtechdays.org for a full schedule of events.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
It was a busy week for Wisconsin farmers with nearly 6 whole days suitable for field work. Harvest is underway for small grains and hay, while soil moisture remains mostly favorable. Nearly 80% of corn has reached the silking stage. That's 5 days ahead of last year. Corn and soybeans are both holding steady at 81% good to excellent, though that did dip slightly from last week. Soybeans are moving along with more than 80% blooming and more than half setting pods. That's ahead of both last year and the five-year average. Winter wheat harvest is 67% complete, running a bit behind, but potato harvest has just begun, and that crop quality is excellent, 96% rated good to excellent. And on the hay front, second cutting is nearly done, and the third is halfway there. That's according to the latest crop progress and condition report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
More clouds than sunshine today, and chances for scattered drizzle. As a warm front pushes through the state, we become warm and muggy. Highs today reaching the mid-80s, and by tomorrow, the upper 80s.
More showers and thunderstorms are expected overnight, with waves of them tomorrow, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse and bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yep.
But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Luann Bird will talk about Congressman Brian Stiles' recent town hall and calling him out for supporting Trump's big cuts to health care.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Welcome back to the Tonto Ball Show, live on location from La Crosse, Wisconsin, on the western shores of the state of Wisconsin. We are on the Black River at Black River Beach Neighborhood Center, a great community center here in La Crosse. Behind me, you can see the Black River flowing into, it's kind of the backwaters of the Mississippi River here at La Crosse, great to have you along with us. We are here covering fusion voting. Many thanks to Lee Roche from Leader Ethics, who is one of the co-sponsors of today's forum here at the Community Center on fusion voting. And also to Dale Schultz, co-chair of United Wisconsin, to Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings at Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 9. And now joining us from across the ocean in a secure, undisclosed location, Tryngvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, our ongoing contributor and friend, and also is part of the United Wisconsin. So we want to continue our discussion of fusion voting here. I thought that was great, Tryngvi, and to hear two people, two leaders, particularly from Western Wisconsin, like Lee Roche and Dale Schultz, just talk so knowledgeably about that. When you hear it from those two, you think, well, yeah, it has to make sense. But unfortunately, modern-day politics gets in the way.
Well, I agree that modern-day politics can get in the way. I think United Wisconsin has hit on, which is why I'm glad that I've been able to play a small role in helping those guys. They're talking about core issues beyond just on fusion voting, which is, quite frankly, part of the solution. They're talking about issues that people care about. They're talking about public education that are the cornerstone of our community. They're talking about, you know, the Wisconsin idea. They're talking about conservation. They're talking about the things that have always made Wisconsin great, that have somehow become political footballs, and that, quite frankly, I would argue, if you know, you've got all these people thinking about running for governor, you want a blueprint for a winning gubernatorial campaign? It's right there in what United Wisconsin is pushing and backing.
I want to go back to the web. And by the way, it's a great website. If you really want to do a deep dive, folks, on fusion voting, go to United Wisconsin. It's all spelled out, not WI, but the full word Wisconsin. So United Wisconsin.org, and Zomers, if you'd be so kind, we'll put that link in our show notes as well. But UnitedWisconsin.org. I want to read you just a couple of sentences here, and then Tryngvi, let's get into this a little bit more. It says, fusion voting was once common everywhere in American elections, including Wisconsin. The historic electoral concept is just as relevant in today's political landscape and could be implemented at both the federal and state levels of government. Here's how it works. Fusion voting permits more than one party to nominate the same candidate, with votes for that candidate first being tallied separately by the party before being fused, quote-unquote, together to a final total. A candidate who appears on the ballot as the nominee for one major political party could also be listed as the candidate of a second, potentially more centrist political party if that second party also nominates them and the candidate accepts their support. Fusion voting allows people to vote for the candidate they favor and do so on the party line that best represents their values. And instead of being spoilers, small parties can play a more constructive role in our politics, giving voters more choices while not asking them to, quote unquote, waste their vote on a candidate that can't win. So let's put that down there where the chickens can get at it a little bit. And Pat did a good job in the first half of this hour, but I just wanted to reset it up and get your thoughts on this, Trigvi. As someone who has run statewide and helped run national elections for president, so if I'm getting this correct, as a part of United Wisconsin, so let's just use my former boss for a second. Let's say that that Dale Schultz would hypothetically run for governor, and he said, you know what, I've always been a Republican, so I'm going to run as a Republican, but I know I never get the Republican nomination. So he could run as Republican, but a centrist party, let's just say United Wisconsin, could say, well, we want Dale Schultz to be our nominee as well. And they could also nominate Dale. He could accept that nomination. So on election day, people that wanted to vote for Dale under the Republican ticket, as they have many years ago, could do that. But people that say, I want nothing to do with modern-day Republican MAGA politics, but I will vote for Dale based on his record as a United Wisconsin candidate. And all of the votes for Dale Schultz on both Republican and the United Wisconsin ballot would count for him. Not double votes, but whoever voted under one party and the other, all those votes would count for Dale. Do I have that right, Trigvi?
You have that 100% right. That is exactly how it will work. As Lee was pointing out, you know, the Republican Party is the reason that the Republican Party was launched in Wisconsin was fusion voting. And quite frankly, the irony is the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, after the Republican Party came about, sought to get rid of fusion voting because they understood that it becomes something that allows smaller parties to grow and become a threat. You know, the two-party system in the U.S. has been a duopoly for the last 150 years, and it really hasn't been challenged. And there are so many obstacles to trying to do that.
I think it's a great point because, and you know this as you've traveled with me around the state, what we hear so often from people in Wisconsin is we're just sick of both parties. You know, we're tired of the fighting. And I think fusion voting is a great way, and I'll use the cliche, you know, to address a problem without throwing the baby out with the bathwater. In other words, you can still have both major parties and people can still run under those tickets. But there's also this more centrist, hypothetically, United Wisconsin party that could help bring people together. Answer me this, Trigvi, as someone who's run elections more than I have. So let's do a person that is nominated by a fusion party or a centrist party under fusion voting, does that person automatically get to advance to the general, or do they still have to stand in a primary election?
No, well, I mean, the way fusion voting works is, right, it doesn't really impact primaries. So let's say United Wisconsin, you know, nominates Dale and ultimately the Republican Party doesn't in the primary, right? He would still be a candidate of United Wisconsin. But where it really comes into play, United Wisconsin could say, you know what, we're gonna nominate, We're gonna be a good housekeeping seal of approval on the candidates that are gonna stand for the Wisconsin idea, that are gonna stand up for public education, that's the cornerstone of our small towns. It's gonna stand up for conservation and things like the Mississippi River Partnership, and say, you know what, it's a Republican here, it's a Democrat there, and nominate those, and those candidates could accept that nomination.
So we had the one of our listeners, Troy in Mount Horeb, listening on WMDX in Madison, says, Trigvi, why is fusion voting better than ranked choice voting?
Well, I would say this, having worked in a lot of places both around the world and across the United States, and this is just me personally, I think ranked choice voting becomes very, it becomes kind of confusing for voters, quite frankly. And, you know, I first encountered ranked choice voting working overseas, and I know they have it in Alaska and some other places. But the reality is fusion voting is pretty straightforward, and it has a tendency, I believe, to empower the center of the electorate far more than ranked choice or open primaries, jungle primaries, and some of the other sort of things. And you're kind of seeing that play out across the country, right? In Alaska, where you have ranked choice, in California, where you have jungle primaries, you're really not getting more gravitational pull towards the center. What fusion voting allows is for a party, and I think that's what Dale and Lee and Dave Mahoney and the others who are driving fusion voting are talking about, is really those things that unite people in the center. And the reality is, if 6% of Wisconsinites said, you know what, we're gonna go with fusion parties, and fusion became the law, United Wisconsin becomes that good housekeeping seal of approval. And in places where you have the Republican and Democrat parties nominating extremist candidates, there's nothing to stop fusion from nominating somebody who's going to stand for the center.
And you know, theoretically, do you think this could be passed or not passed, but I guess approved via the court system and ready to go for the 2026 election? Because the scenario that you just laid out there, you know better than anybody else, boy, I mean, even 3 or 4 percentage points, let alone 5 or 6, that's the governor's race right there.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it would force the parties to pause and think a little bit before they nominate people where both sides are saying, you know what, neither choice is great for me. But it would also give the potential, where I really think that it has the potential to be powerful, is down ballot in state legislative races.
I want to go back to what you just said about giving parties pause before they nominate. Our mutual friend Bill McCoshin, Republican strategist, former Thompson administration official, Tommy Thompson administration official, was on this show, I've lost track of time, a week or two ago, whatever Evers dropped out. And McCoshin said, for our side, quote unquote, meaning the Republican side, that the Trump endorsement in the Wisconsin gubernatorial race is everything. That basically, right, that whoever Trump nominates, that's going to be a Republican nominee, which to me is completely undemocratic, because really they're all, whether it's, you know, Tom Tiffany's probably going to get in, you got Josh Shulman from Washington County Executive, you got Berrien, the so-called business guy, and who else knows who's going to get in. But these folks, they don't really care about Wisconsin voters. All they really care about is Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Here's the thing, I mean, I've said this before, Todd, and I am of the understanding you alluded to this when you were talking to Bill. There's 3 people that I've said so far, maybe there'll be some more, that I would walk back to Wisconsin to help them if they ran for governor to knock on doors. Bill McCoshin being one of them. Kelda Royce, those who are listening, she's another one. They couldn't be further apart on a lot of political things, but I'll tell you what, both of them, along with Ben, who's
Wickler,
the third one, mm-hmm, Wickler, they stand for things like exactly what United Wisconsin is talking about. They're going to stand up for the University of Wisconsin system because they understand that job creators like Epic are a result of the computer science school at the UW. They understand that the University of Wisconsin Eau Claire is the driver of the essential driver of the economy and is producing future doctors through their partnership with Mayo Clinic that we learned about when we talked to Jim Schmidt, right? Like, they get that. They get that the public schools are the cornerstones of our small communities. They get that conservation is critical, whether you're somebody who cares about the environment or you're somebody who cares about the environment because you want good places to fish and hunt. Like,
yeah. Go ahead.
No, I mean, that's the key.
We're gonna pick that up more with Trigby Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, and also of United Wisconsin. After this, come on back. We're live on the banks of the Black River in La Crosse, Wisconsin. La Crosse, Wisconsin, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We've been explaining the basics of fair redistricting and unfair gerrymandering this week. Who does the redistricting, and how can that encourage fair maps and curb partisan and racial gerrymandering? In the majority of states, partisan legislative subcommittees draw redistricting maps. Because redistricting is so sophisticated and data-intensive, legislators often hire outside contractors and, all too often, data specialists from the majority party's national headquarters. In some states, advisory commissions are appointed by the governor and leaders of both parties. Sometimes it's all politicians, or in the case of Virginia and New York, a mix of political appointees and citizens. Such commissions can make map recommendations, but those recommendations are subject to change and often ignored by the legislature. For fair and competitive maps, constitutionally mandated independent citizen redistricting commissions in Alaska, Arizona, California, Colorado, Idaho, Michigan, and Montana have had the most success. Citizens registered as Democrats, Republicans, and unaffiliated voters are usually appointed in equal numbers and are required to follow redistricting best practices, including public input. In some cases, such commissions have unwound decades of rigged maps, which is why anti-voter politicians work so hard to stop them. We have details on all these redistricting models at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity. Especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's fun to look back and laugh now.
That was a bad day.
There are marriages that have died on less. Our first actual fight as a married couple was about the house rules of playing Monopoly. We've not really played Monopoly since. When you can modify an app, you can modify the rules of the game. Maybe there are times when you are better off just playing the computer. Play something else with your spouse instead.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Hearts of fire. Streets of stone. Modern warriors. Saddle-lined horses of chrome.
Blasting out of Trigby Olson's cassette deck in his 1978 Buick as he went through the streets of downtown La Crosse during Oktoberfest. That's the music from the tape deck back in the day. Did you ever drive down from Eau Claire to La Crosse to party, Trigby Olson, as he joins us from across the pond, as they say, in Europe?
Yeah, I was at Oktoberfest once.
Do you remember it?
No.
I knew the answer to that.
I remember going. I don't remember much after I got there.
We are live on location.
I remember there were a lot of nursing students from, what's the name of that school?
Viterbo.
Viterbo, yep.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not the last thing I remember.
What? That's it? Yeah. the nursing students. Black River Beach, the neighborhood center, is where we are at on the banks of the Black River. That is the backwaters of the Mississippi River here in beautiful La Crosse, Wisconsin. We're here covering the Fusion Voting Seminar sponsored by United Wisconsin, of which Trigvi Olson is a part, and also Leader Ethics. You can find today's forum, if you missed it, at leaderethics.us. leaderethics.us. It really was a really great one-hour seminar. It's a quick watch. You learn a lot. Lee Roche was there. Dale Schultz was there. Other people as well. And would encourage you to do that. Trigvi, you're being joined by your assistant now in overseas, the lovely and talented Ula. She called me, and I thought she was an AI because her UK accent was so good. She's like, this is Mr. Olson's assistant. It's ridiculous.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Mr. Ava. How are you?
You can say Todd because we're live on the air. All right. Thanks, Ula. Have a great day. All right. Very good.
Yeah, you too. Have a good show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Trigvi, I want to get your thoughts on this here before we let you go, because you, right before the end there, you were really doing, in my opinion, a great job of saying what candidate, anybody wants to win in Wisconsin next year for governor or any other race in Wisconsin, the core issues that people believe in. Our colleague, our friend Jane Matinere on Matinere on Air this morning, along with Greg Bach under their show, had Joseph Pecky, Democratic strategist. Of course, he ran for the chairmanship of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, lost in a close race to Devin Remiker. But Zepecki said this, he brought this up on Jane's show this morning. And Zepecki said, look, Donald Trump ran on lowering prices and better the economy. Neither one of those things are true 6 months in plus to his presidency, and Democrats would be wise to keep focused on those two things and reminding voters in the state that what Donald Trump ran on was a lie and it's not coming true, and not getting distracted by what's that woman's name, the Jean woman, Zoe Ziegler. What is it, Zomers? Do you remember what it is? It's the hot thing right now, but I don't follow this.
She's a hot thing, but I don't remember what her
the
name is.
The topic is a hot thing, but yeah, I guess if you bat for that team, that's also a thing. But it's this young model who says she's a conservative and got into an American
Sydney
Eagle
Sweeney.
Jeans.
That's right.
There, Sydney Sweeney got into this jeans ad, and now the left is, the far left is all up in arms over this. Oh my gosh, she's wearing jeans and she has an ad campaign and social influencers on the left. This is real. I showed Zomers this, I think, yesterday, that there's one influencer on the left who is going after this campaign simply because it's blue jeans and how blue jeans were repressive to blacks in this country. And yes, if you go way back to the indigo and the cotton trade, you could find some interesting and unfortunate history. But to somehow connect that with American Eagle and this campaign, I think that's bonkers. And it's exactly why it's so easy for MAGA and Donald Trump to look at the other side and say, see how crazy these people are? I think Zepecki's right, Trigvi.
100% he's right. I mean, the bottom line is, listen, the governor's race, the center of the electorate is sitting there thinking inflation hasn't gotten better. Are there cars going by or what is
that? Yeah, sorry, I'll turn my motorcycles, those crotch rocket things, they drive me crazy.
The bottom line is the economy is not getting better. The engine that drives the economy in a place like Wisconsin is things like our public education system, the University of Wisconsin system, conservation and the environment, and Main Street business, right? Like, that's what drives the economy, is the workforce is driven by that sense of community and the education. And the bottom line is the center of the electorate cares about that. They don't really care about the blue jean stuff, and falling into that trap is just a waste of time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I really was appreciating what Zepecki was saying on Matinere on Air this morning. Would encourage everybody to go back and listen to that podcast. Listen to Jane Gregg's entire interview with Joe Zepecki, because I think he's absolutely right.
By the way, Todd.
Yeah.
Did you see that Derek Van Odwan and Jim Jordan are having some kind of rally in Wisconsin Rapids?
Oh, for goodness sake. Are you serious?
Yeah, serious. By the way, for people who haven't seen it, there's a, I don't know if it's the Netflix or HBO or one of those streaming things. If you have kids like Ula's age, you have a gajillion of them. Anyway, there's a really amazing movie about what went on at Ohio State when Jim Jordan was there.
Amazing, like, in an unfortunate way.
Watch that and not, in a really bad way. But, like, I don't know how you can watch that without being incredibly sympathetic and come away thinking that Jim Jordan is even a remotely good human being.
No, he's a terrible individual. And the fact that Derek Van Orden wants to associate him with him is ridiculous. And on the way up here, and I was driving by Bangor, and there's a digital billboard with Van Orden's picture that says, Van Orden, release all the Epstein files. So there's that.
Well, they should.
Right? Exactly.
100%.
All right. Be well over there. Give the family my best.
Wait a minute.
What?
Are we playing this or that?
You want to? Well, come on back. We'll give your quick answer to that. What's worse is next in hour two. We're live in La Crosse on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Mike Dubusky. Authorities are investigating today's shooting at an Army base in Georgia. The gunman at Fort Stewart was an Army sergeant who was arrested on a DUI charge earlier this year. Five other soldiers were hospitalized in the incident, including two who are currently being treated at a level one trauma center about an hour away in Savannah. Van Johnson is the mayor of that city.
I spoke with the lieutenant colonel upon this happening while he was still locked down. I spoke with the Liberty County chairman. I spoke with the mayor of Hinesville. I've offered whatever support we can give them. We're all one community.
Officials say the shooting took place at the 2nd Armored Brigade Combat Team area.
This is specifically a combat unit. We should also point out that even within combat units, there are a lot of logistical support, a lot of companies, a lot of units as well that are associated with it.
ABC's Louis Martinez at the Pentagon. This is ABC News.